This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here live from the MVP Studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Envin Global Esports reporter James Hung is going to join me to break down League of Legends patch 8.20 and the Ezreal rework. Thanks for joining me, James.
Thanks for having me.
For this patch, it's a pretty short one, but could you give me a breakdown on what changes are coming up?
Yeah, sure. So the biggest change here in this very small patch, as you said, is the Ezreal rework. But other than that, there are actually three changes. So the first change is Evelynn is being nerfed. So the nerf is her E's getting nerfed to where her damage is being decreased by 25 for each rank. And then her other change is that her ultimate is actually decreased by power as well, by 25 per rank as well, until rank 3, where it's decreased just a little bit more. So these changes is due to the fact that Evelynn has been a terror in solo queue, because essentially her passive, right? Because you don't get pink wards as early and normal wards aren't really effective for Evelynn once she hits 6 and gets that natural camouflage from her passive. And I'm not saying her damage or her stealth is necessarily that overpowered, but when in combination of those two in solo queue, it's kind of really impressive to players who really know how to, I guess, take advantage of Evelynn's toolkit. So this is kind of a way for Riot to make sure Evelynn doesn't go too out of control, and I agree with some of these changes. But at the same time, the way that Riot has always went through these changes where if they see some champion that is overpowered or a little bit too strong, they always go to change their damage instead of maybe, you know, their toolkit or their pathing or something to do with their items, things like that. I agree with these changes regardless. It's just that I really hope that in the future, if they feel like a champion is a little bit too strong, they should change something other than their damage. But going over to all the champions and all the champion changes, so Fiora's getting hotfix. It's nothing too big. It's just something to do with her passive. So her vital healing has been increased from 35-110 to 40-115. So this is pretty much just, I guess, quality of life change to Fiora, just so, you know, she's doing all right against tanks coming into this whole Sion top meta, Sion mid, Sion bot meta, and yeah, this overall tank meta. So I think it's a very healthy change. Fiora is at a very nice state right now. And the last champion change is actually against Brave, which I'm also happy about, but this is also a damage decrease, which, you know, as I said earlier, there should be another path to how they really want to change champions instead of decreasing damage. But the change is Graves' base AD being decreased from 66 to 63. So any change to base AD pretty much just means, hey, you're not going to be as effective as you want to be in the early game, as in levels to 1 to essentially to 8, 9, and 11. So what this means for Graves is that he's always been, I guess, a very early farm and jungler. Even though these are both contradictory terms, what Graves essentially does is he ganks either level 2 or level 3 and then farms until, you know, level 4, level 5, and looks for a kill angle on level 6. And if he can't do that, then he gets objectives, counter jungles, things like that. So this just makes it really hard for Graves to do what he did before, which is, you know, as I said before, ganking early and farming. But if you're good on runes and use a really, I guess, popular rune right now, which is Dark Harvest, it should not be as big of a change, as Graves really didn't excel off the extra 3 AD he got earlier, right? So it is, I guess, a good change for his oppressive early game, but I feel like it's still going to be the same for him through his jungle pathing, through his farming, and through his ganking. So those are essentially the changes.
Now, you're right about that. I've been seeing Evelynn and Graves as jungle for a couple weeks now, and they're really dominating. But with the changes that are coming up, usually when there's a reduction of damage, you know, that kills solo play. You won't see those champions anymore. Do you think that'll happen this time around?
In regards to the Evelynn damage changes and Graves damage changes, both of them are essentially, as you said, you know, very aggressive in solo queue and in the early game. But these damage changes are just not enough, I feel like. I feel like if they wanted to nerf Graves and Evelynn to the point that they are on par with other junglers, they should have maybe changed some of the cooldowns for their abilities or even their base armor or magic resist just to make it harder for them to clear in the early game, just so they aren't that oppressive by power farming or power gank. With these changes, I feel like they're still going to be played. Maybe they're dropping, I guess, pick rate after players see these nerfs and be like, oh, I'm not going to play that champion because they just got nerfed, right? But after a while, they're just going to realize champions are essentially going to be the same. And Evelynn and Graves are still going to be very easily tier 1 in the jungle tier.
One of the things I wanted to pick your brain about is Ezreal. This is going to be a rework, but for me, it looks more like they're just changing his visual. Is that just it?
A majority of what they did with Ezreal is a visual change with all his skins and his basic skin. But the one change they actually did with Ezreal was his W. So his W before, which is called Essence Flux, was it did a little bit of damage. It was a projectile, and that was essentially it, right? No interactivity, nothing that really adds depth into his toolkit. And they reworked it, so now it costs 50 mana with a 12-second cooldown. What it does is Ezreal fires an orb that sticks to the first champion or objective for 4 seconds. Now, after this orb is hit with an ability or an attack after it has attacked your champion or an objective, it deals additional damage, scaling with, you know, bonus AD and AP, and detonating this ability refunds the mana cost of that certain ability by 50 mana. So what this essentially means is that, you know, Ezreal will W onto, I guess, a champion or Baron or Dragon, and if he hits that targeted or marked champion or objective with, let's just say, an auto attack or a Q, an R, or anything like that, he gets refunded 60 mana. So this just allows, I guess, more fluidity to his toolkit, as in he can actually rotate with starting with W, then Q, or W, then R to get some mana back. And it adds, I guess, more interactivity and depth into what previously was just a skill shot that you fling out every time it's off cooldown, right? Now you can actually think of, oh, when should I use W here? Should I need mana back for this? Or should I think of rotations more, I guess, intuitively and start with WQ instead of just QW mindlessly. So those are the changes that they did with Ezreal, and I agree with you. It's more of a visual rework than an actual rework itself, but at least they changed his W, which I believe needed much changing as well.
Now, when it comes to Ezreal, it's really confusing what type of champion he is. Is he an early game, a mid game, a late game character? What kind of champion is he?
So Ezreal is most definitely a mid to late game champion, not just because of his toolkit or how he's played, it's just because of his item build. Any build that you go with Ezreal, whether it be AP or AD or hybrid or whatnot, you always have to get Tear of the Goddess. Now, Tear of the Goddess is an item that you buy for 700 gold, I believe, and every skill that you use charges up to a certain point, where you get a lot of mana, you get a lot of mana regen, and it builds into Mura mana, which is what you want to go on Ezreal later on. And the reason why Ezreal is such a late-game champion is because this item that he goes through gives him absolutely no combat stat. So he can't trade as effectively as he wants to in the early game against other champions in laning phase. And also in team fights, he won't be as effective in the early game as well. And until he gets this upgrade to Mana Moon, to Mura mana, etc., etc., he can't really be as effective as he wants to be. So until he gets to that point, he's more so, I guess, a laid-back, hey, I want to farm, hey, I want to get stacks kind of champion. So Ezreal is most effective in the mid to late game, and he's not so, I guess, damage-oriented or combat-oriented in the early game.
Now, I heard you say he is a hybrid. I knew he was a hybrid character, but and some people go almost mostly AP, a little bit of, you know, AD. But can he ever go full AD?
The reason why Ezreal is so flexible in the build path that he can go because he has such nice both AD and AP ratios on all of his skills. So his Q, W, E, and R all give dual scaling for AP and AD. So you can almost always go full AD with Ezreal. That's where most people go. you can go full AP with Ezreal, which some people do in, you know, when you go like Ezreal mid for normals, or when you go into ARAM and you get Ezreal, right, and you want to go full AP. So both options are very viable. You can actually build Ezreal hybrid as well, but it's just not as effective as going, I guess, putting all your resources into one basket, right? So I believe full AD or full AP Ezreal are the best ones out of the hybrid options. But yeah, both full AD and full AP are very viable.
Now, what about his runes? If you're going AP, should you have the same runes if you're going AD?
You can go both ways, actually. I feel like if you want to go full AP Ezreal, Airy or Klepto are both very viable, just because Klepto really helps Ezreal scale and get his items faster. And as you said, Ezreal is not essentially an early game champion, right? You want to get to that mid to late game stage. And in order to do that, Kleptomancy really helps you out a lot by giving you outside game resources, gives you random generated gold, and it just helps you, I guess, just farm up easier. So when you want to go for that mid to late game, Klepto is almost always the best. But if you want to go AP and, I guess, poke and try to be more effective in the early to mid game, then Ares is a pretty good option too. But I would say it's within those two. It's either Kleptomancy or Ares.
Now, for Season 9, I heard that they're changing the ranking system. Could you explain that?
Essentially, what they're doing are two changes to the overall rank system. So the first change that they're doing is that they're removing all the 6 divisions from, I believe, bronze, silver, gold, plat, diamond. So what this means is that before, every rank had up to 5 divisions. They had, for example, platinum 5, platinum 4, platinum 3, platinum 2, and platinum 1. Now, after these changes will go live, you'll only see ranks up to division 4. So you'll be plat 4, plat 3, plat 2, plat 1, and this will repeat for, you know, bronze, silver, gold, diamond, plat, etc. So that's the first change that they're doing. And then the second change is that they're adding 2 new ranks. The first rank is going to be iron, and the second rank is going to be grandmaster. So iron is going to be placed at the very bottom, right below bronze. So it'll be iron, then bronze, then silver, then gold, then etc., etc. And now grandmaster will be on top of masters. So it will be diamond, masters, grandmasters, and then challenger.
I don't know if you know anything about this. They have a new little game, the Odyssey Extraction. Is that going to be permanent, or are they going to change it out like all their other ones?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought it up, because I love that game mode. It's incredibly fun, really fun to play with your friends. And these are considered game modes for Riot, so they are always rotating. By rotating, I mean by they'll be around for a couple of weeks, and then they'll replace that with, I guess, another game mode, such as in the past we've seen like Poro King in the ARAM map. We've seen the kind of the Capture the Flag kind of maps as well. So these game modes are always rotating, and unfortunately the Odyssey one is, you know, will be rotating, but hopefully they'll either implement it as a completely new game mode, as they did with, you know, ARAM when the community wanted it so bad, or they're just going to keep it on rotation, and hopefully we'll see it in rotation sometime soon.
The only reason I ask about it rotating is because I know when you go into your profile, you can actually mess with your augments. It actually has its own little tab. And I was like, huh, usually when they're rotating things, they don't put it in there, you know, like it just made it seem like it had a more permanent spot. But I couldn't find anything about that. And I love this Odyssey Extraction. It's so much fun. Little fast 12 to 15 minute matches, and you just jump right into it.
Yeah. As you were saying, they put a lot more effort into this game mode than they did previously, as you said, with the whole, you can change your specs and your progression, and there's quests to it, things like that. But there has not been any, I guess, word about Riot really implementing it to be a game mode. So as of now, it's just considered as a rotating game mode. And hopefully they either, A, do put a lot more effort into future new game modes like they did with Odyssey, or B, they actually make it permanent as a game mode for people to really enjoy it more.
Well, I hope they bring out more like these. This was a lot of fun. For the World Championship, have you been watching some of these matches? So what have you been thinking about it?
I always thought that the play-in stage, which is going on right now, would be, I guess, one-sided, where some of the predicting teams will, you know, eventually make it out while the other unknown tears would just be so-and-so. But I was just surprised. So one of the things that I was really surprised about was Seven Nation Me Gaming, which is a League of Legends team from Japan. And this is their first time coming to Worlds and actually performing really, 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 really well, as they might actually make it out of play-ins and go into group stage as the first Japanese team to ever do so. And their top laner is just insane. So watching these, you know, these guys' games is really, I guess, starstruck in me, because Japan is not really a region that is seen often at all, and is not really considered, I guess, one of the top-tier regions. There's always been Korea, China, then, you know, maybe some East Asian teams and Europe and NA, but Japan is really showing up this year at Worlds, so I'm excited to see how far they're going to go. And the second team that actually surprised me was Cloud9. So I know Cloud9 is a very good team, and I was expecting them to get out of group stages as well, but it's just, I believe they're undefeated right now. They're just playing so well. They're playing really well with their six-man roster, and Sneaky is playing better than I expected him to play. He's playing very consistently, and yeah, he's just overall solid. So I'm really excited to see how Cloud9 is going to do in the later games, and they make it out of groups to groups. I'm excited.
Yeah, the only thing that makes me a little sad is some of these matches are 3 a.m. for me, so I just get to watch the highlights.
I'm in Korea right now, so I get the, I guess, the little opportunity to watch it at okay time. Well, you have to watch it at 3 a.m., so that's a bit unfortunate.
Yeah, it is. But I know that Cloud9, they had a lot of clutch matches where I thought they were going to get knocked out, and lo and behold, they snuck in somehow. And you're right about Cloud9. I really want to see them get to the end, only because, I don't know, you didn't expect them to get that far. They didn't perform that well before, but here it's like, wow, they put their big boy pants on and they're really starting to play good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, James, I really appreciate you coming on. For those listening, where can they find more information about you?
First off, it's always a pleasure for, you know, talking about League of Legends with you. It's always really fun. And if you guys want to check out, you know, or learn about more things about League of Legends, about Worlds, which is going on right now, or just about games and esports in general, make sure you guys check out InVenGlobal.com. It has all the cool stuff, great community. And I write some articles every now and then on there, so make sure you guys check that out.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com. That's masonverapayne.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.